Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to see you on this crisp fall morning. Well, for our message today, you're going to be hearing about that God shows patience, doesn't he? He shows perfect patience. And you know what patience is, right? Patience is this. Waiting. Waiting and not getting upset or frustrated or mad. And it's important to show patience. God shows us that. He tells us that in the Bible. But I have a very simple question for you kids, but it's also a dangerous one. Okay, ready? I think I have your attention now. Do your parents show patience? Just remember, Christmas may be riding on this. They're all paying attention now, aren't they? Do your parents show patience? You're looking at me like I don't want to say anything. Yeah, our parents show patience, right? They don't get mad the first time we do something. If they call us when we're maybe involved with playing or with our toys or friends, they're patient with us, and I bet you don't even realize how much your parents are patient with you. You know what? I have an even better question for you. Are you patient? When you don't get what you want, are you patient? Sometimes, right? But you know who I've learned is patient? Grandparents. They've learned to be patient, haven't they? They made all the mistakes on their kids, and now as grandparents, they know to take a breath, and it's okay, and I say that because I'm a grandparent too. But I have to be honest with you, grandparents always aren't patient. But you know who is perfectly patient? Who is perfectly patient? Jesus is, isn't he? He was patient when things didn't go his way. He didn't just fly off the handle, right? And now God's word tells us how God is so patient with his people. He's patient with us. He doesn't judge us and totally blow us away the first time we sin. And why is God patient with us? He loves us. He loves you and me so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for our sins. And now he gives us the strength to be more patient this week. Do you think you can practice being more patient? And when you feel like you're going to blow up, take a breath. And by the way, this works no matter how old you are. Take a breath. Can you do that with me? Say a prayer. Lord, help me. Count to 10 in your head, and then react. I promise you, it'll go a whole lot better. When you remember how God is patient with us, we're able to show patience to each other. Let's ask God to help us do that right now. Dear God, thank you for showing incredible patience with us every day, for not treating us as our sins deserve. Help us, Lord, be more patient when we don't get our way or sometimes we have to wait. Bless us and keep us this week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. May God's grace, his mercy, and his peace be with you now and always, because Jesus Christ is our Savior, amen. God's word for our sermon appointed for today is recorded for us in the Old Testament book of the prophet Isaiah. Reading from Isaiah chapter 5, the very first verse. I will sing for the one I love about a song about his vineyard. My loved one, that's God, had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower on it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have already done for it? When I look for good grapes, what did yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland. Neither pruned nor cultivated, the briars and the thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. This is God's word. You may be seated. In the name of the triune God, who's perfectly patient, loving, and kind, dear fellow followers of Jesus, do you remember a time when the Sunday meal was a big deal? And because it was such a big deal, families would serve dinner on fine china and cloth napkins. Seriously, when's the last time you ate a meal on china and napkins? And because only the best was brought out, families would also serve dinner with wine. Even the older kids would get a little taste of wine in those tiny glasses. There's something special about wine. Most of us here probably don't think about drinking wine unless it's Holy Communion. On the other hand, in Europe, it's hard to have a sit-down meal without seeing a bottle of wine on the table. Looking back at those special dinners, I think I can better appreciate all the hard work that went in making those special dinners. They really did want to give their best. In a much greater way, God is the best. God is the best creator, redeemer, and sanctifier. And when we think about our role, if you and I say, I believe in God, that means we're going to follow him. We're going to listen to what he says. And we want to give God our best, don't we? Our best behaviors, our best positive attitudes, our best joyful spirits, not just when we're here on church, but when we're in the community and in our daily lives. When we start to realize that God has made us, yes, us, his people in holy baptism, now, to use an Old Testament phrase, we not only want to give God our best, we want to give God good wine. I'm not just talking about bringing bottles of wine to God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying give God our best. Why? We give God good wine because, well, first of all, he's given us ideal conditions to grow in. And secondly, he has no use for bad wine. Did you know that most of the domestic wine served here in America is from California? Even the fine wineries that we have here in Minnesota, they get most of their good grapes for their really good wine from the Golden State. Of course, good wine comes from good grapes, and good grapes come from the so-called wine country. But you probably also know there has to be the right conditions for really good grapes to grow. There has to be the right pH balance in the soil, mild winters, hot summers. Well, I'm using wine and grape comparisons this morning in my sermon because our sermon reading does. God compares his Old Testament people to a valuable piece of land known as a vineyard, a place where fruit or grapes grow. And just listen how God handpicked Israel and gave them the ideal conditions to grow. That's what Isaiah was talking about in the opening words of our reading. He says, my loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower on it and cut out a wine press as well. I think you know that the Israelites took their winemaking seriously. I also think you know that God loved Israel so much that he handpicked them out of all the nations of the earth. And God also was familiar with vineyards. Why, he even gave the command that all Jewish men who had just bought a vineyard, he gave them a military exemption for military service so that they could go and work their vineyard. That's because working a vineyard, it's hard work, and it takes time. It's important to show patience. But in our sermon reading from Isaiah chapter 5, God isn't just giving us gardening advice. He's talking about how patient he is with his people. I mean, God is the one who created a homeland for the Jews. I think you've been listening to the news, and right now there's war in Israel, and it could get a lot messier over there just within moments. But God cared about his people. He handpicked them, not from China, not from America. He picked the people of Israel to be his very own. And he made a homeland for them because he had to clear out the people who were there by battle after bloody battle. But also that land was valuable. You probably know that the nation of Israel is at the center of three different continents. Literally the whole world comes together right there. Everybody wants that land. And that's why God protected it. He protected it by raising great leaders like King David and also King Solomon. The Jewish spies describe that land as a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, everything that was planted there grew. But also we learn that God fertilized his vineyard by giving his people countless spiritual blessings. Remember I said that God handpicked the Jewish nation? Why did he do that? Well, because he wanted the Jews to be the ones to write down his holy word. Moses and the other prophets, they were charged with writing down what God wanted the whole world to know, and then they were to share that with the world. But God also handpicked the Jews because out of their bloodline would come the Messiah who would crush Satan's head. So why did God go to all this trouble? I mean, what does God get out of it anyway? The answer? Not much. Our sermon reading, he calls Israel and Judah vines he delights in, literally a garden of delight. Here in Minnesota, I think we get gardens and farms, don't we? Just this past year, my wife and I grew a garden for the first time. We did this year too. And many of you grow gardens and farms, and we thank you for sharing your produce with us. If you've noticed, on the table in the new narthex, people are always just leaving their produce for others to share. Thank you very much. So why do we go to all the back-breaking work of digging in the dirt when we could just go to Aldi or Hy-Vee and pick up our produce in aisle number one? Isn't it because we enjoy watching things grow? Oh, sure, we get a little produce too. But think about why God had planted his vineyard, the people of Israel. I mean, God wasn't lacking anything. He literally showered his people with the best of the best blessings. And now one might expect someone who has shown that much love would give love in return, right? They would give God good wine. Fruits of faith, right? Well, the prophet Isaiah sure did. Listen to the opening verse of our reading. Isaiah was talking about what God's love did for him. He said, "I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard." Isaiah got the message. Everything he had was from God, his life, his health, his eternal soul. And now God's love for Isaiah is what formed the love, or the good wine, in Isaiah's heart so that he could gratefully show it back to God. But when you think about it, God has done just as much for us, and maybe even more. I mean, God has led all of us at this time in the history of the world to come to this strip of land called Minnesota, where we live, we go to school, we work, we retire, we enjoy the four seasons. God has created the ideal conditions for us to show our love back to him, known as good works or good wine. From God himself, we enjoy many freedoms. We enjoy the freedom of religion. We can gather together this morning, and we don't have to worry about the government coming in and arresting us and carrying us off. Not every nation on earth gets to do that. We're not putting our lives on the line, but we enjoy so many material blessings from God. You and I have so many possessions, and we just don't even think about it. We all just always want to buy the next thing on Amazon. As members of the Wisconsin Synod, we enjoy freedom from false teaching. And here's what I mean. Our ministers, teachers, and leaders don't argue every week if the Bible is God's word, if Jesus really rose from the dead. We don't worry about that. Those are accepted biblical facts, and they're taught in truth and purity. But the greatest blessing we have from God is the blessing of the freedom from the guilt of our sins, from the fear of death, from the worries about damnation. This is what I mean. Have you sinned since yesterday morning? Of course you have. I have too. Did we go to bed last night dreaming of fire and brimstone? Do we wake up smelling burning sulfur? My friends, hell is a real place for real sinners, and it should include people like us. But it doesn't. You and I have no fear about going to hell. Why? Because by God's grace and by His mercy, we believe that God sent His Son into the world to suffer the punishment for our sins, hell itself on the cross, to die and to rise again. And you could say that God's love in Christ is the miracle grow for our faith. That's why we've come to worship this morning. That's why we come each week to hear God's word, to receive His sacrament, to grow our faith. His forgiveness picks us up when we've tripped over temptation. His mercy washes away the stain of sin and sews up the tears in our souls and clothes us in perfect peace. Yes, under these ideal growing conditions, we can give God our best, our good works. Yes, our good wine. Wine is a special treat, but it's also rather expensive. How much would you pay for a bottle of wine? Most people I know wouldn't pay more than 10 or 20 bucks. Well, have you ever tasted a good bottle of wine? Maybe a nice sweet German wine or a dry French Chardonnay? Some bottles of wine go for literally hundreds of dollars. Well, who would pay for all that? But if you've ever had a drink of that kind of wine, it sure goes down smoother than most California brands. I mean, imagine if you invested money in a good bottle of wine here at a New Ulm restaurant. You took a sip and it tasted like vinegar. Ugh! Wouldn't you want your money back? But wouldn't you expect God to have the same reaction with our fruits of faith? God has put so much into nurturing our faith. God is looking for you and me to do more than just the absolute minimum or to give God, ever heard of three-buck chuck? No, He's looking for our best. That's because God has no use for bad wine. Isaiah continues his wine comparison with these words. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad. Imagine God's disappointment. All the work God did, and all He got back was skunky wine. And here's what I mean. It's been well documented how God loved His people. He told them exactly how they could worship. But the Israelites, they mixed pure worship of God with pagan religion. They rejected God. The Israelites' king traded their spiritual heritage and the false prophets marketed for profit to the people. Yes, imagine what that smelled in God's nostrils. God waited a long time, more than 1,000 years, to see if His people were going to give Him good wine. You could say He shows amazing, extravagant patience with His people. But the truth is, God's patience does run out. These words are written for us as a warning. Listen to the final words of our reading. It says, "Now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its walls, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated. and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. Is God serious about you and me following his word? Absolutely, yes. Just look at the history of Israel. Look at how God gave the Israelites what they wanted. They didn't want to listen to God, and so they wanted God just to go away, and so he did. He withdrew his protection, and Israel was carried off into exile, first by the Babylonians, and then later by the Persians. Well, God has no use for bad wine. The truth is, the same is going to happen to our world. I mean, there is going to come a day when God brings Judgment Day here on this world, and it's going to make the events of 9/11 and all the hurricanes ever to hit our coast combined look like minor mosquito bites. Can you blame God? Of course not. My point is this, my Christian friends, rather than worrying about what the rest of the world is doing to serve God, ask yourself this question. Am I serving God with my best? Am I giving God good wine? For evidence, just take a look at our worship. Is it half-hearted, or are we all in? Look at our calendars. Are we making God a priority on our calendars each day of this week and time in his word? Is it more of a obligation? Look at our checkbooks. Are we joyfully giving our gifts, that financial gifts, to God? Or are we doing it because we think we have to? Will you join me in praying, Lord, have mercy. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. And then realize, my Christian friends, it's not too late. It's not too late to give God good wine. Think about this. As wine improves with age, so also our sorrowful souls will mellow when they're filled up with Christ's love. A well-stocked wine cellar has a wide variety of wines, from that sweet German wine to that dry French Chardonnay to the dark Merlot. Each bottle has its own personality, its own character, but all of them are high quality. God is looking for you and me to give him good wine to place in his collection. None of us have earned our way into that collection because of our sins. But remember, God has restored us. He's changed our status from damned sinner to saved saint. And let this be our motivation. Jesus' words in John chapter 15, when he looked at those disciples, his followers, you and me, and said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." God has big things for us to do here at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, as forgiven men, women, teens, and kids. Let's serve God with everything we have. Let's give God good wine for Jesus' sake. Amen. For our stewardship thought this morning, I'd like you to think about your stewardship of time in your prayer life. You and I know it's important to thank God for the food that we get. And honestly, when you pray at mealtime, food always tastes better. But also, you have no idea about an example that we're setting with others. Obviously, we often pray in the privacy of our home. Even if it's just one person, we pray. But we also pray out in public, and we're making an incredible Christian witness. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before. I remember when my youngest daughter was born, the nurse told me that I better run downstairs to grab a bite to eat, because it was going to be hours before, after the baby got here, that I was going to be able to eat. And I literally ran down to the hospital cafeteria. I grabbed a hamburger, and I think I inhaled it in about 15 seconds. And then I looked over at a young mom who was taking her little girl's hands and folding them. I realized I forgot something. After they were done praying, I went over them and I confessed, I forgot to pray that day, and I'm a minister, and I have every reason to thank God for giving me a wife and for giving her, me a daughter. And yet I thank them for reminding me I needed to pray. Whether you're in the MLC CAF, whether you're at Perkins or out in the community, don't forget to humbly pray. Not only is God listening, other people are listening too. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Amen.